roll call here to see if we've got a quorum. So please answer up if you hear your name. Jack DePalma. Jim Dingman.
Here.
Bruce Grief. Noel Jameson.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Matt Mazza.
Here.
Carolyn McIntyre. Daryl McPherson.
Your stream hasn't
Allie
started.
Who's that?
This is Allie.
Yeah, okay, you're here. Did Daryl McPherson say something? No. Bertold Reimers.
Here. Oh!
Serene Roberts.
Present.
James Sagerton. Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Neil Voss.
Here.
Michael D.D. White.
Here.
M.K. Williams.
Here.
Okay. You know, I think we may have just hit quorum. Let me double check this. Yeah.
Did you
okay,
check the stream?
All right, so here we are, and
could you check the stream?
No, I can't. If Otis is running it, Otis is running it. I can't check the stream. Okay, so we're going to start here. Let me ask, Otis, are you here? Can you stream us? I don't hear him. He may show up a little late. All right, I don't know. All right. Anyway, we've got a quorum here, and I'm going to start the meeting. And so, I hope he's streaming it. Okay, so welcome everyone to the WBAI Local Station Board Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin, and I am the WBAI Local Station Board Treasurer and therefore the chair of this committee. And the first thing we're required to do is to set the agenda and... Okay, I make the following motion. Where is it? Here it is. I move we adopt the following agenda. 1. Call to order, 7 p.m. 2. Approval of agenda, 20 minutes. 3. Identify timekeeper, 2 minutes. 4. Excused absences, 5 minutes. 5. Minutes approval, 10 minutes. 6. Treasurer's report, 15 minutes. 7. General manager's report on WBAI's finances, 20 minutes. 8. The general manager presents a draft FY24 budget proposal, 60 minutes. 9. Set next meeting date, 5 minutes. 10. New business, 11. Adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Jack DePalma apparently just showed up. Thank you. All right. And so that is the draft agenda. It's the most is on the floor. And is there any debate or questions or anything about this agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to going to a vote on this agenda? Hearing none. Is there any objection to adopting this agenda as read? Hearing none, it's passed without objection, and there we go. Okay, click on that. All right, the first thing we do is we identify a timekeeper. Jeffrey Stern, do you want to be the timekeeper?
Yes, I'll do it.
Okay, so Jeffrey Stern will do it. And is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern is the timekeeper for this meeting. Next is, let me look online here. Okay. The next item would be excused absences, except no one has asked for an excused absence. Therefore, we don't have anything for this agenda item. I will make note of that. And we'll move on. The next item on the agenda. Next item. Oh, why don't I do? All right, you know what? Let's take a second here, and I'll do a formal roll call here. So we're going to do the roll call again. Once again, please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma.
Thank you. I'll call here.
Jim Dingman.
Here, and can somebody goddamn with all this irritating noise?
Yeah, there's some noise here. Could people not wash the dishes next to the phone or play stuff or whatever? Bruce Grief. Noel Jameson.
Here.
Arpal Martin here. Matt Mazza. Matt, are you here? Answer up, Matt. You were here before.
Matt just stepped down the hall.
Well, tell him to step back up and get on the phone. Carolyn McIntyre. Daryl McPherson.
Present.
Allie Murphy.
Presente.
Bertold Reimers.
Present.
Serene Roberts.
Present.
James, is that Serene Roberts? I hear something, but I don't hear a person's voice. All right. Well, people, please mute yourself.
Someone
if
else
you're...
needs to mute.
You know, that's what you just interrupted me from saying. Well, people who are not, here to say anything right now, please mute themselves. We've got a lot of noise tonight, and that is Serene Roberts, I believe. That's present. James Sagerton. Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Neil Voss.
Here.
Michael D.D. White.
Here.
M.K. Williams. Let me go back and see about Matt Mazza. Are you here, Matt?
Yes, here.
Okay, so you are here. All right, so that's it, and we have officially done the roll call. At this time, I need to ask, is Mario Mastrandrea here? Mario? Okay, guess not. The next item on the agenda is minutes approval. Okay. M.K. Williams, you have the floor.
Okay, well, I sent the minutes for the last meeting. August 16th, I move that we approve the minutes for August 16th.
Okay, so the motion is to approve the minutes of the August 16th meeting. Is there any debate on this motion? Hearing none, is there any objection to approving the minutes of the August 16th meeting?
I just, Roberts, I just need to abstain. I don't think I was here and I haven't read them.
Well, unless we do a roll call, there's no abstention. So, we don't have to get into that. I mean, if there's no objection, you're not objecting to it. So there's no objection, right? Is there any objection to approving the minutes of the August 16th meeting? Hearing no objection, it's passed without objection. Okay. Next is a treasurer's report, and I will give that. And we'll take a second. Okay. Where am I? Okay. All right. Well, there are all sorts of things going on in Pacifica these days, and oh boy, I'm not sure they're all so good. Pardon me. Ah, pardon me, I'm choking suddenly. WBAI's consultants have been a topic of conversation at the National Finance Committee, which we call the NFC, and apparently elsewhere. Consultants make up a large percentage of WBAI's expenses. At the August 22nd National Finance Committee meeting, the executive director told the committee that one of the things she's been working on at all of the stations had been consultants. She said she was working closely with WBAI, and the general manager was sending her lists of consultants who are essential and who are not essential. She wants to find out who does what and then have new agreements with all of the consultants and see what they're doing and what we expect of them. She said maybe a staff member could do a job that's being done by a consultant, or maybe some consultants have to become staff. She said that there needed to be a clear explanation of what the consultants are expected to do, and instead of paying them regularly, require a timesheet from each one, and then invoices would be submitted along with a check request, and a check would be cut to pay them. She said that they're looking to see if they can reduce some hours of some consultants, even if they are essential ones, and that WBAI could save about $45,000 per year in consultant expenses based on what the WBAI general manager had presented to her. But she said she thought maybe a little bit more could be done. The executive director said that Pacifica's accounts payable were still over $2 million, and the accounts payable of concern were still $988,000, as they had been weeks ago. The executive director is asking the general managers to submit their draft FY24 budgets. FY24 starts on October 1st. That's 11 days from today. That's 11 days from today. I sent the consolidated monthly income statement for the 8 months ending Wednesday, May 31st, 2023, to the LSB and the local finance committee in August. That income statement shows Pacifica running a deficit of about $970,000 as of May 31st. It shows WBAI with a deficit of about $287,000 for that same time period. We recently got the Pacifica Foundation consolidated monthly income statement for the 9 months ending Friday, June 30th, 2023. It hasn't been approved for release yet, but it shows that 4 of the 5 Pacifica radio stations are running deficits. Only KPFT is in the black. Pacifica overall is showing a year-to-date deficit as of June 30th of $1,365,062. And WBAI is showing a deficit as of June 30th, of $318,953. WBAI's deficit increased almost $32,000 in that month. And obviously, Pacifica's deficit has increased rather a lot in that month. The executive director has been talking about having all Pacifica bank accounts in one banking chain. And in my opinion, it looks to me like that bank is going to be the Bank of America. All of the stations and other units will still have their separate bank accounts, but they'll all be in one bank. This is supposed to make it easier to do things like transfer money and keep track of things, but not everybody is thrilled with the idea of all Pacifica accounts being in Bank of America. The next National Finance Committee meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, September 26, 2023 at 8:30 p.m., and that meeting will be held by teleconference, and that is my report. So are there any questions about the Treasurer's report? I'll take a stack.
Bruce for the stack.
Who's this?
Bruce Greif. I just gonna tell
you. Oh, Bruce Greif is here, and we'll note that you are in attendance. 1 second. Is there anybody else who wants to get on the stack about the Treasurer's report? Well, hearing none, Bruce, go ahead. You're it.
No, I didn't. I just wanted to let you know I was here.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you're here. All right. Is there anybody who wants to ask any questions or say anything about the treasurer's report? If not, Daryl. Okay, Daryl.
This is Ali. I have a question.
Ali Murphy. Anybody else want to get on the stack? Once, twice, three times? Okay, Daryl McPherson, you're up now.
Is there any way that we can protest using Bank America?
Is there any way we can what?
Protest using Bank America as the central bank for a...
People can write to the national, to the executive director, things like that. I think however, she has gotten some protests already, and she seems to me to be very intent on doing this. So, yes, people can protest. I don't know that it's going to have any effect on the decision that gets made. It is a management decision, pretty much. Okay, is that it?
Thank you.
Okay, Ali Murphy.
Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
I hear you.
Okay, thank you. About the consultants, who will make the final decision about how many people there will remain and how many people they will take that consultant work job away? And how many consultants is in each station? Do you know?
All right. For the last part, I don't know how many consultants each station has.
And how about WBAI?
Well, we have the general manager here, and he could definitively answer that. Bertold, do you want to give us a number of consultants?
When I get to my report, I mean, I send the reports. Have anybody looked at them?
Oh, I figured I'd
okay, I guess I will go back, and then when he gives the report, then I could ask him that question. But it's the second part of that question. Thank you.
I just wanted to, have you tell them, Bertold, because you're, do you want me to read it from your PDF? I can do that, but I thought coming from you, it would be better. But I'll do it. Okay, what do you got here? Let me scroll down to the bottom of it. And
thank you.
How many? Okay.
Oh, you got a day off?
Bertold sent to the mailing list several things, among them a file called, consultants.pdf. And
well, we went to our
you're not showing me the number of people. Okay, I got to count. So, undo 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 15. Looks like there are 15 consultants. Is that right, Bertold? Okay, so that answers that. The other stuff, who makes the final decision? Well, it's sort of going to be the...
Okay, listen, somebody has some domestic...
Okay, there are a lot of people on here. Okay, can everybody who is not speaking at the moment, please mute your telephone or something?
Exactly.
Okay, we've got a lot of people. All right, somebody's having a conversation. This becomes unworkable if people do this. Could everybody please mute themselves or something like that? Okay, that's better. All right, so what was that? Okay, so in terms of who's going to make the decision, it's initially at least going to be the general manager. Now, the thing is, whoever is yelling at somebody, please.
I can use my earbuds and still record it.
Let me see if I can fix this. Hold on a second, people.
Phone number?
What, is it Zoom?
All right. I think I fixed that. All right. So, Now, the general manager is the person who's on site and will make the decision, but I think that the executive director will be able to modify that decision if she so chooses. That's just the way it works. She's the highest management person in Pacifica, and if Bertold says, we want to have these people as consultants, and she doesn't want that, she can impose her will on that, and that's it, because she is, as they say, the boss. So, does that answer the question?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, is there anybody else who has questions for this treasurer's report? Not, we can move on.
Our Paul James.
James Sagerton, go ahead. Oh, you're here.
Just want to let you know I'm here. Thank you.
Okay, James Sagerton, why don't we do this a little more formally, and let's see about everybody else. Let's see who's not. Is Carolyn McIntyre here? Daryl McPherson must be here.
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
Oh, you're here too. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so we have all those folks here. Let me now ask, is Mario Mastrandrea here? No. Okay. I think this is probably also the good time for me. Clicked the wrong thing. For me to make the usual announcement that we make at these meetings and say, while attendees at any WBII meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBII LSB that for the local finance committee that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. Is there anybody who isn't a member who wants to say they want to become a member?
Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman.
Okay, I have you here. Anybody else? Okay, hearing none other, we will, since there's nothing else anybody wants to do with this, the next item is General Manager's Report on WBAI's Finances. Bertold, go ahead.
James Sagerton wanted to say something to your report. I don't know if he still does, but he was waiting.
No, he just wanted to say he was here.
Oh, that is, okay, never mind.
That's correct. Thank you, Arpaul.
Okay. Bertold, you have the floor.
All right. Hi, everybody. So, here is a engrossed general manager's report. The summary of the report first, and I'll go into details. Fund drive pitch has tanked. BI buddy stayed the same at about 20,000, 21,000. But there's a lot of termination. Non-new renewals, which is a lot of opportunities for reaching out to people from April 2021. I think there must be at least 300 to 500 of those, at least. Public service announcement, a significant new source of revenue that we need to explore further. Well, close to 80,000. I counted close to 80,000. We're waiting for like two more checks to come for close to 12,000. That would round it up to 80,000. We're at now 60-something thousand in the financials that I keep. There's a strong correlation between utilizing increase in Blasdale and fund drive results. There's a lot of, opposition to using her, so I've been using her less and less. Every time I don't use her, we make less money. It is clear. General Smith, major donor, gave us a matching fund of 4 months of rent. We matched 2 months already, so we need to do two more months of matching. Matching funds seem to have been working well. At DAI, the program director has been giving matching fund amounts to different shows, and then they have somehow made it, which is really good. So WBAI has to get the pledge line ringing at WBAI first instead of at ACD call center. That could save us $6,000. That's the thing that needs to really be done. And I hope you ask me questions about that, because this is a long story here. Number seven, WBAI Pacifica must figure out the legalities and strategy to start calling lapsed donors, because obviously I've generated a list of thousands of people that are no longer members from way back. We have those sheets available for people to call, but they are concerned that, we have crazy people. We have people who, may not be as professionals as they should be calling members. We have to evaluate how to respectfully call those members and get them to, and we also have to evaluate how to maintain that list at a safe location and have enough phone numbers and a supervisor there all the time, either me or Linda, hopefully Maxim, Harrison, Galman, and Denise. Like four people I can think of already. To supervise the area so that no one takes the list and go home with it. There has been a dismal response for people to join three major task forces that I have at heart, which is the premium task force, the public service announcement task force, and underwriting task force. I've asked for three members of the board to join each one of those task forces at most, and I will be running them with them so that we can start generating and finding more premiums, generating and finding more PSAs, and generating and actually start getting underwriting. And the number nine is a cut in consultants. So these are the nine major items that are substantial here today. So, first of all, let me go to the easy thing. As of yesterday or the day before, WBAI had $9,597 in the bank. Well, it's already $15,000 right now, and then we have probably a good $5,000 of checks to be deposited soon, so that we can make payroll. So that's what we have right now in the bank. That's that. As far as PSAs, WBAI generated $66,176 from October 2022 to present, between only two entities, the New York City Department of Transportation and New York City Department of Health. And all that is done by Linda and I. The BI Buddy, from April 2021 to June 2023, is about the same. In April 2021, we generated $19,257.85, and the average donation was $16.06. Largest donation was $200 per person, for that one person. We had 1,118 BI buddies. June 2023, we have 1,125 BI buddies. 562 dollars, and averaging $16.79 per body on an average. Highest donation is $200 per body. for a person. Is that a consultant? Okay, so let's go straight into it. Consultant. There will be a consultant, or what you call consultant, or whatever you want to call it. We have somebody who cleans in here 3 or 4 times a week, cleans the bathroom, mops the floor. We're paying him $360 a month. Can't find any better, let me know. We are paying $127 to a volunteer for MetroCard, who comes in almost every day, packs the premiums, organizes the place. I think the MetroCard went up to $134. So it's $134 a month allowance for transportation. So I call that administration. So between the cleaning and the volunteer, we are paying $494 a month. That's 5% of our consultant fee. For programs, we had created a morning show, Strip, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., right before Amy Goodman, that, you know, eventually, initially, that area is like the prime time of radio. We had no one listening. We built this to being the highest or the second highest listened to Strip at WBI besides Amy Goodman. It goes up and down between the morning show and Amy Goodman. Monday morning, host was getting $125 per week or $250 for every 15 days or $500 a month. Just like all the other ones. The Wednesday morning host Linda saw Sue. She decided.
Berthold, hold on a second. Somebody is like making a noise, crinkling stuff up or something next to their telephone. Please mute or just stop doing that stuff so we can hear, because it's very hard to hear when people do that. Thank you. Please continue, Berthold.
Yeah, this probably should mute. They're probably writing notes, so they should probably mute. So the Wednesday consultant had decided that she didn't want any money, and that's also doing it for us for free. So we are basically paying Monday to Friday $2,000 for consultants. Doing a very strong morning show host. That's the equivalent of $24,000 a year. And if you think about getting somebody as a full-time host to do a real morning show, Just imagine what that means. Now, we also have a booker that we pay $1,000 every 15 days to produce and book Leonard Lopez's show. Leonard Lopez has like 4 or 5 guests a week that have written books. They need to be confirmed that they are coming on the show, and then you have to research this thing and stuff like that. So this is the only show of that sort that we have on BAI, and I think it's important. So the booker is getting $2,000 a month. So between the booker and the four morning hosts, so we are spending here $4,000 a month in programming. Now, I have sent a letter, an email to all the 5 hosts, and letting them know that we will not be able to pay them. You know, we're running the chances of them quitting and then, you know, having no more listenership and therefore not being able to make any money after their show. The Monday morning host is getting us some union underwriting. You know, so this is something that to be discussed, right? We told them that at WBI, we need to generate money to pay for all the shows. And then all the shows are responsible for 500 or 250 per hour or so every week. And so the Monday morning host, I was going to get rid of all the hosts or at least all their payments from Monday to Friday. So the Monday morning host is working with some union to try to generate some cash to pay WBI so that we can have a reason to keep him paid on Monday. The Tuesday morning host quit because could not afford not to get paid. And So we are scrambling trying to figure out what to do with Tuesday morning, which is something that we thought could happen. Wednesday morning is was free anyways. So Thursday morning is free, but I mean, I didn't hear from him. So Linda felt that we need to contact him to see if we can get him paid and then have him generate underwriting and support for his show. The Friday morning host did generate some money, and Linda is in negotiation and talk with them, but technically speaking, they're not supposed to be getting paid unless they generate enough money. I mean, they did generate, I think, $1,000 or $2,000 from some grants, but we need a lot more than that. So that's how this is going. As far as the development, our webmaster is getting $2,500 a month. I understand in some stations we're spending $300,000 a year on web and things of that sort. So $2,500 a month, that's like $25,000 in 10 months. That's $30,000 in a year with no benefits. That's pretty damn good. He manages the website, anything, any hacking, he's responsible to fix. He's maintaining our e-commerce website where we have our premiums. He's entering those premiums in the system. He's generating membership lists for elections. He's generating my BAI buddy list for me because apparently Allegiance is a lot more difficult than the other system we used to use, so I need a little more training to learn how to do this myself. But he's doing a whole lot of that, and he's answering a whole lot of people about eligibility to be able to get a ballot right now for the WBAI's election. So he's getting $2,500 a month. Constant contact. You know, you receive this email, there we get four. How do you call that again? In case you missed it, a reminder, we get a newsletter, and we get a whole bunch of logos and stuff like that. You know, it just about everything that you get that's colorful, that's beautiful, that any reminders and stuff like that, all from Constant Contact, you know. So that's $1,700 a month. We negotiated it to go down to $1,000 a month. That was pretty difficult. Fund Drive pitching, we have between Kristen Blasdale and Tony Bates, we're spending about $3,000 a month. That's well spent. We should be spending a lot more because these people generate about $30,000 a month, between $20,000 and $30,000 a month in Fund Drive, in revenue for WBAI. And that's something that I need to be working on. So these are the so-called cuts I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting $2,500 webmaster, $1,000 customer contact, $500 each Tony Bates and Kristen Blasdale per month. But that doesn't work like that because this is a one fee for a pitch. So we're going to have to skip months and get them to give us a pitch and skip months. And you know, just not do as well those months, or depending on how things are, bad things are, we'll rush to beg them to create a pitch for us. Operations, if you want to consider that to be consulted. Board app substitutes, we have four full-time, one part-time board app. That covers from 5 in the morning to midnight, Monday to Friday, from 5 in the morning to midnight, Saturdays and Sundays. And so from midnight on to 5 in the morning, you know, we have pre-recorded shows. We have some shows that can do their own board, or like these are seasoned producers. So this board app, when they go on vacation, when they go on vacation, they have an emergency in the family. We're all aging. We're sick. They have to have somebody who replaces them. I was also able to negotiate with the union way back that the way we worked out the grid on Saturdays from 4 to midnight, 2 to midnight or 4 to midnight, we would have a consultant and do that shift. We're getting paid, we used to get paid 15, we're getting paid $17 an hour as opposed to a regular employee board up who make close to $40 an hour. So this is why we have those consultants. I do consider a webmaster as essential, and the fund drive pitching Tony Bates and Christine Blackwell as essential. I consider the board app replacement essential, because if you don't have a board app, you have to pre-record it, or you just don't have the air. So these are essential, and essential means really essential. But if you think about cleaning, $134 for a volunteer to come in, work like 10 hours a day at WBI for free, I am amazed at how people, focus on this consultant thing at WBI. It's like something that if they have, as if there's some excess in anything. And I can't wait to hear from you and give and some feedback on this so-called consultant thing. So I went on the book, Buddy. It's account consultant, give you the TSAs, the WBI chase balance, so the WBI fund drive client.
I'm in a meeting. I'm in a meeting on the phone, a conference call. Thank you.
So, a little more detail on the WBI fund drive decline. Mm-hmm. Our goal is $100,000 a month just for, pitching and stuff like that. From October to present, we have averaged. $55 in listener support, and then when people send money to PayPal, when you add those two together, we have averaged about $60,000 as opposed to $100,000. So therefore, as far as in fundraising goal, we are about, we're pretty short of our goal on fund drive and pitching. And that is because we don't have new premiums. Period. No question about it. It's not attacking producers. This is a fact. That's what it is. When we have new premiums, we make money. When we have new premiums, we don't make money. So we made up a little bit of that by getting the PSAs and by hoping that we get three times more PSAs next year, since we just started the PSA project, and because the board allowed that, and then so hopefully we'll get more PSAs. We did not want to get more PSAs because we wanted to know what we're doing, Linda and I, before we get to get to the next level and talk about PSAs. What else? Well, let's go to outstanding payable. WBI outstanding payable is $1.410,936.85 million. For Pacifica National Office, Pacifica Radio Central Service, payroll expenses and healthcare bill back from way back that we didn't pay. So then that adds up to $1.4 million. Our outstanding debt to our vendors is $151,000. About 9.72% to outside vendors, 90.3% to Pacifica, the national office. We have just sent our central service is $16,890 per month, and this year we've sent central service. We just got a bequest, so we sent central service $10,000 per month. So we sent them about two-thirds of what we owe them. The big bills are four Times Square that we owe $41,000 right now, which is about 2.5 months, including September. The next one is ACD, the call center. We owe $63,000. So their bill is $6,500 a month. And that is why I believe that we need to move this bill to WDAI immediately. And that is something we need to discuss because it's a little more complicated than that. And then the rent at 388, where we have a studio, we owe $15,900, which is about 3 months. And then why is that? Yeah, we've been owing them money. Actually, we owed them like 8 months. So we just had a 2 months donation from a major donor because we paid them 2 months and then they matched it. The intention is to match again a 2 month, a 1 month donation this month so that he can match it so we can reduce two of those. So we can have just a deficit of 1 month, $5,300. So that's the goal, and I think we're on pace to get to that goal. So, but the number one thing that we need to focus on is the call center. We need to port that number back to WDI and get volunteer to answer the phone. And after three rings, if it doesn't get answered, it can go back to the call center. So that is our outstanding payable. What role can this be? So, my profit and loss. So now I need to go into this. So, before we go any further, WDI keeps, I keep QuickBooks. I use QuickBooks to know what's going on at WDI. For the record, because I know there's a lot of pain in the National Finance Committee, there's a lot of accusations and a lot of nonsense flying around. I need to clarify this. Listen carefully. You're from KPFA, the West Coast, and from the PNB. WDI has not done one entry into the Great Plain financial system for at least 10 years since Hurricane Sandy displaced us. And then since we lost our business manager and the assistant to the business manager used to do the entries into Great Plains. I started learning Great Plains and I hated it. It was complicated, convoluted. It didn't make any sense. And it's not my job as a general manager to learn an accounting software. It's just basically to have some basic understanding of it. So then Pacifica, forced us to get rid of a business manager. There's a lot of pressure. We did that, and so therefore they were responsible to do our finances. So that's what happened. They do the finances. They've been doing our finances for 10 years. So for 10 years, Pacifica National Office has been responsible for every single entry into Great Plains. So any financials that you get at the national level or whatever, official, does not come from WDI. It comes from the national office. Now, I use QuickBooks because the owner of this building that rents us this building has been very nice to us, told me that she used it to for her business, and it was a very good thing. She saw me using spreadsheet trying to figure out what bills I have. This was a better system to keep track of things. So what I do is I keep track of what's going on. I don't have an accounting system. However, I'm extremely accurate and very meticulous. It serves as an accounting system. And I was lucky enough to have two interns, one Indian and one Chinese, that worked with me for a whole summer and left QuickBooks to Chase and PayPal. So every single transaction that happens in PayPal or in Chase comes directly into QuickBooks, and you cannot delete them. You delete them, they come back. And what we do is, for the first 3 months, we map those transactions into the general ledger that was given to me by the last internal auditors that we had, who had suggested strongly to the network a new chart of account that everybody was supposed to use, except nobody used it except for me. I don't know why I keep on following instructions. And then that's what we use. We have that chart of account, which matches the basic budget that we used to have from way back from FN Larry Nass in the national office. And then we enter those into the system. Every month, everything that I have in QuickBooks is reconciled, the reconciliation then, with the bank account. Reconciliation means that the bank starts August 31st, the bank balance was $50. So September 1st, the bank balance starts at $50. And September 30th, let's assume the bank balance is $5,000. There's a bunch of transactions, plus and minus in between. All of those transactions are entered into the system. And then so I go into the system and I say, October 1st, balance is $50. September 1st, $50. September 31st, $5,000. And add everything else, and it has to add to the penny. And if it doesn't add to the penny to match to the bank account, the reconciliation doesn't happen. We do reconcile in QuickBooks. And in QuickBooks, I have been, first of all, it's a lot more easier for me to do this than anyone else because I'm right here and I'm paying attention every day and every second. I have a very great distribution of my accounts. I know exactly what are my revenues and expenses and stuff like that. I know where money is coming from events to David Rottenberg, theater tickets, to public service announcements, to bequests, to major donor, to car donations, to grants. And I must say that WBI has a pretty, pretty diversified diversify your revenue stream, considering that 667,000 out of 1.2 million so far is coming from listeners sponsored, which is like 52%, which is actually bad because, we usually depend on listener support to be like 80%. So if we could have increased the listener support, we would have had a pretty robust financial statement. Hold on. So as far as I'm concerned, the numbers that I have on WBI, and I have to double check again, our deficit as of May 31st was 222,000. As of June 30th, it was 247. As of July 31st, it was 294. August 31st, it was 320, and then as of right now, because of the $189,000 grant that we just received, the deficit is now down to 160.
Okay, time has been called, Bertold. If you have more, does somebody want to make a motion to extend the time for this item?
Yeah, I make a motion to extend it for 10 minutes.
Okay, Dingman. Then for 10 minutes. Okay, is there any objection to extending the time for this item by 10 minutes? Hearing none, it's extended. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 21.
Okay, so let me finish
ahead,
with this, and then I'm open for questions. So
yeah, we'll
in QuickBooks, at 95% of everything in here has an invoice attached to it. 95%, because most of these things are linked to Chase. Most of our accounts are online. So we get emails straight from Spectrum, Verizon, and all of these things. They send us the. They basically take the if you take the money automatically, a lot of those bills are paid automatically, and then we get an email with the receipt, and then I just take it and load it into QuickBooks. Or we go online. That we have access to online. I mean, I try to do that as much as possible. Even if we didn't have the receipt, we can go online to the website of the vendor and then download all the receipts, all the bills and everything else that we have. We also have an email called finance@wbi.org that has a lot of emails from all the bills as much as possible. And then it's also a site. You know, if you go into finance.wbi.org and you tap on the password, you can go in there. You know, it's like somebody's email address. And then you can go and look for any email going back for the past, I don't know, 5, 6 years, 7 years of any bills. You can probably find Amazon.com. You can go into Amazon and then just go in and look at the history of bills and then things like that and find all of those things. So everything is just about documented. Not too many things are not documented in there. The only issue I find sometimes is people are not really good at producing invoices, the consultants or somebody like that, and it's difficult to get them to produce invoices. I create a sample invoice for them and send it to them and ask them to fill them out and send them the information to put in there and so forth and so on. That, you know, and then after a while, you know, sometimes, you know, I lose interest and I focus on something else. But you can eventually always go back and get the 5% of invoices that we don't have into the system. I'm done. I'm taking questions.
All right. Okay. First is me. Okay. There are a few things here that we need to talk about. Let's see. Okay. About the WBII pledge line, ringing at WBII first. This thing again. Again, I will bring up the legal thing. What is it? The PCI DSS, the rules they have for the credit card stuff. Are we really going to be able to do that?
Yes, Apple. Thank you for asking. So everybody here, the PCI DSS is a standard. It's not a law, but we have already been able to get Matt Mazza. I don't want to discredit Matt, but Matt is, you know, of a certain age, and then he was able to learn how to go into the computer, and just like the call center, to go in and enter a pledge with a credit card. As soon as you enter the pledge with the credit card, the pledge disappears. He enters all the credit David Rothenberg theater ticket pledges into the computer back there. My webmaster assured me that we can have three pads, iPads, whatever pads they are, and he can set them up because he's the one who did set it up for Matt, can set it up for a volunteer to just come in, and they do not have to have a pen and paper anywhere near them. They can just take the call and then go into the pad and take the pledge, because the place they would go to is linked directly to our website where we have our premium, which is exactly the way we set up our call center. It's the same thing. It's just having another call center line here. The thing we have to do is make sure we have someone that is designated officially to be here whenever you have somebody taking the pledge to answer the call to supervise. That's why I was always against this options, because that means Linda and I, besides everything else we're doing, we're going to probably spend a whole lot of time, 8 hours every other day, whatever, doing this and so on. But yes, we can do it.
Okay. The other thing is, you're talking about figuring out the legalities and strategy to call lapsed donors. And I appreciate the idea of you not giving away the membership list again, as you did some years ago. And the thing is, you're worried about, as you put it, crazy people. And how are you going to really screen for that, since, you know, some crazy people will insist that they be doing the calling? And will you be able to, like, if somebody does something unproductive, shall we say, will you be able to tell them, look, you're out of this. You ain't doing this anymore. Will you be able to do that?
That's an excellent question. That's why we are pondering on it. The calls would be coming from here, except from me, if I call from my house. But the call will be coming from WBI, and they will be also supervised, just like taking in the pledges. I know that the executive director has been very active in trying to figure out how to best deal with this. And I know also James Sarbiton have been discussing this. So we are going to have to look at what needs to be done to make those phone calls. But it is clear that, it's a huge potential source of money. These are people who gave us money before, you know. The worst thing that can happen is we didn't send them a premium. And in my experience is every time I spoke to somebody, we didn't send a premium. They were happy to hear from me. After I apologized to Fruitleaf for research their premium, or told them I was going to research it and the next day or so, they were happy to hear from WBI. So we have a potential, a high, huge potential of generating a lot of money. A lot of BI buddy, I would hope. I want to convert those donors of premiums to BI buddies so that we can just have a sustained donation coming in.
Okay. You mentioned, let me scroll back up here. Okay, you mentioned underwriting for the people doing the morning drive time shows, and underwriting for that they would solicit it and they would get the underwriting and that would pay for them. And have you checked this out with general counsel to make sure that at no point we're stepping over a legal line with this type of thing?
I did speak to Arthur, but we have not discussed this in depth. It's all about the wording. You know, each show is supposed to carry its weight, whether you are a paid producer or not a paid producer. And so we have come into the point where we cannot afford to pay producers anymore, you know. And then so, but, you know, how you want to word this, is that, you know, people have to carry their weight. You know, if you're getting paid, we have to figure out how we generate money. I mean, Linda and I, we created a BI buddy. We created, we got about $80,000 in PSAs. We were told we have to carry our weight by producers and everybody else. So we are trying to do that. So everybody's trying to do that. So I'm trying to carry my weight. You know, producers have to try to carry their weight. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I think that might be the best way to put it, so that as legally or whatever it is. Like, every show has to carry their weight. So it's not specifically for a paid show. It's all shows. But specifically for paid shows, we cannot pay those people. We don't generate money. So I think that I'm pretty sure this can be worded better than I'm wording it right now. And then we will be fine.
Okay. I just want to say, really make sure you have the general counsel knowing all the details. And, I'll be off in a second. And making sure that we're not running afoul of anything, because this could really, if it's not done right, you're going to get a visit from some federal agency or another, and that can be unpleasant. Okay, time has been called.
I moved
that
with Stan.
Okay, Dingman's there. Go ahead, Dingman. How much do you want to extend it for?
20 minutes.
Yes, I agree. Whoever said at least 20 minutes, I agree.
Okay, so 20 minutes. 1 second. Okay, is there any objection to extending the time for this item by 20 minutes? Hearing none, it's extended. Mr. Timekeeper, I have 2012. Okay, let's add a stack. Who wants to be on stack?
Sure.
Okay.
Paul, I'd like to be back. Thank you.
Okay, I have Dal McPherson, Serene Roberts, Jim Dingman. Anybody else?
James.
James Sagerton. Okay, James Sagerton. Anybody
and
else
Allie.
Want to be on? Murphy. Okay, anybody else want to be on stack?
Matt Messer.
Who's that?
Matt Messer.
Is that Matt Mazza?
Yes.
Okay, hard to hear you, Matt. Okay. Okay, we have six people. Why don't we start with that and see how it goes? Daryl, you have the floor.
That wasn't me. It was someone else.
Oh. Just kind of, I thought I heard somebody say Daryl. Well, okay, who figures they were there before Serene Roberts?
Nobody.
No? Well, Jesus. Ah, all right. It's because his noise. Okay, Serene Roberts, you have the floor.
Okay. Thanks for that report, Berthold.
Please stop the kitchen noise.
The situation with buddies, you know, when people go on the website to pledge or when they listen to the client about pledging, they're told you can either pledge for a particular program or you can pledge for all programs. And many people pledge for all programs. Yet instead of saying, well, if it's all programs, then every show has a fraction of that, producers are disparaged, and I've heard it at meetings and on the air, for having no buddies. Well, as long as there's a category that says all programs, everybody has a buddy, even if they have 5/8 of a buddy. So please stop using that to beat people up. It's really demoralizing. And it's also insulting to the listeners, whom you told could choose that all category. Maybe you can get the website to accept 5 programs that someone wants to be the buddy of and divide their $25 a month, or do you want them to make 5 separate pledges, and then you have to try to figure out how to, you know, work that out so it registers properly, because we know that for maybe years, plural, people were being told, pitch for buddies, and the system was not recording any of the pledges that were made for buddies. That's number one. With regard to the staff who are regular fill-ins, because you have, you know, firm shifts with permanent people assigned, but they do go on holiday and have, you know, personal days, et cetera, et cetera. So you need fill-ins for that period. But there are periods of the schedule where it's not one of the regular full-time, you know, official union people. There are people who are treated as consultants, although they're working a regular schedule. The very least that you can do, assuming that's even proper, and I don't want you to tell me on or anybody else right now whether or not you know it's proper, but you should think about it. Those people, at the very least, should be getting union minimum. Union minimum was $19.20 when we were back at Wall Street, which was, 8 years ago now? I don't know. So how can people be getting $15 an hour, right? So we want to treat people's labor with respect. Whatever union minimum now is what those non-union fill-in people should be getting. They're not getting any benefits, no retirement, no 401(3B), no health care, whatever. At least pay them a decent wage. The other thing is with regard to the folks who are, the amount of money, and I keep hearing that this is being worked on, but in the meantime, people are being told, go raise $500. One show was told, go get 10 buddies. And, you know, that's supposed to reflect the time of day that folks are on the air. So if you give someone something that seems unachievable, although any program can raise money, regardless of what time slot they're in, because I don't believe that there are times when no one is listening. There may be times when few people are listening, but I don't think it's no one. You know, that needs to be thought out. Figure out how to do it. There are people in the industry that we might be able to ask, how, in fact, do you decide what this time slot is worth in terms of listenership, and give people something that's reasonable and rational considering the full broadcast day. Thank you.
Okay. Next person, pardon me, next person is Jim Dingman. Ding? Blah. Jim Dingman, you have
my quick answer.
Bertold, go ahead.
Yeah. So for the VI buddies, as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm working on it since the webmaster gave me from February to June 2023. And it's a nightmare because some people put in about like 20 shows, and that's not going to work out. So I take the first four shows that they highlight because it's not possible to manage a database with that kind of information. So I take the first four buddies, four shows that they choose, and then I'm putting them in a spreadsheet, and then I am adding them up. Whenever I have nothing better to do, that's what I do. Like when I'm sitting with my wife watching TV, that's what I do. It's a lot of work. Second, we did actually, well, you would not know, the management meeting I shared with the management of other stations that we have a grid Linda and I created that's trying to scale down what are the different hours. You know, like the 7 a.m. is different than 5 a.m. and then 3 a.m. And we scaled it, but we never put it out there. So we haven't asked anybody, we haven't challenged anybody to a specific number yet, but I brought it to the management team and the executive director for feedback, because that's something that I'd like to roll out. And yes, we have done a spreadsheet that where we took all the WBI buddies and we divided by the number of shows and we added them next to the actual buddies they receive to add up to see what people are getting as far as BI buddies. So yeah, that's a lot of work. Concerning the employees, I'm the one who out of my own self raised the wage from $15 an hour to $17. I did not realize that was still inadequate. But that is something to be discussed. And yes, it is legit because we negotiated that with the union, you know, like 15 years ago, like as far as that slot. But as far as the rate, we'll see. That's a good point. Arthur and I, we negotiated, getting a contract to our union employees and giving them a raise and a wage adjustment and all of that. You know, it's very hard to be pro-union when you have no money to pay people, unfortunately. And that puts us in a bad situation. Thank you for bringing this point up.
Thanks.
Okay, Jim Dingman, now you have the floor.
Well, I'm glad Bertold made the comment, lack of money, because the previous speaker's comments basically reflect the fact that we're in election, because yes, indeed, it would be great to have
union. Chair, that is out of order. Please call the member out of order.
I am speaking and you're
not. All right,
not.
Everybody want to calm down. Jim, you know what?
No, I'm speaking.
Everybody just calm down. Jim Dingman, just say the rest of what you want to say.
Yeah, and I don't want to be interrupted by that person. You got it? Thank you.
Then stop speaking about that person.
No,
and speak
no.
All right, this doesn't work, folks.
Go for it.
People, let's not get into a shouting match on the phone here. Let's let Jim Dingman go on with the rest of his remarks. Jim, please go on.
You do not interrupt me. First of all, we have what is amazing in all this. We are an election situation right now. So some comments are not addressing the fact that we have a situation where our grid has collapsed in terms of audience. None of the comments I heard previously addressed any of that. Number one, it would be great to pay people $40 an hour if we could. I personally think that would be a terrific way to handle the situation, make sure they're getting paid union wages. We do not have that kind of revenue because we don't have enough listeners. Secondly, the question of the day parks, we know all this. We know what has happened in the past 30 years. We know that in the morning slots, we should have more people. The afternoon drive slots, we should have more people. We certainly do not value people at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning to expect them to raise the same kind of revenue. So this is, you know, in a sense, ridiculous to even contemplate and talk about. Finally, we have to sit there. We've got a lot of work to do because rebuilding the audience is going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of energy. And in terms of the underwriting, it's pretty clear to me that the underwriting process has to be broadened out because there are indeed legal problems that could occur, and it is imperative that the producers in general, not only here in New York, but elsewhere in the other stations, get basic education 101 about how underwriting works, or else we will have problems with the FCC. But I find it very unproductive to listen to comments that basically are not addressing the fact that we only have 40,000 to 50,000 people listening to us at any one time, and we have to get up to 150,000 at least a week in order to get out of this situation.
Okay. I think you're done there, Jim. Okay, time has been called. Does somebody want to make a motion to extend the time?
Yeah,
that was 20 minutes?
I believe so.
That didn't feel like 20 minutes.
12. No, it wasn't. That wasn't. Wait a minute. The motion was extended by 20 minutes. And it's now.
Was it 02, wasn't it?
It's 12. No, it was extension for 20
minutes. I'm sorry. Then you do that.
So this will go until.
It's too early.
32. Until 2032.
Okay, fine. Sorry.
Just a minute.
That's all right. That's life. Okay. So, Dingman, I think you're done. Bertel, do you have anything you feel you need to answer about that, or do we go on?
Not really. I was doing a financial report, and we know about the listenership already. That would be probably, maybe we should have Linda as a guest in the finance committee to talk about, you know, what she's doing. But I wanted to address very specifically the finances, the consultants, and all of those things that people are talking about that are inaccurate in what they're saying about BAI.
Okay, I'm adding me at the end of the stack here whenever the stack happens.
I have a point of personal privilege.
So there is that. The next person on the stack.
I have a point of personal privilege.
Has your name been mentioned?
The person speaking after me said the person who just spoke. I think that's pretty clear who they're talking about.
Well, you know, if you want to do this, we could spend the whole meeting doing this.
Arpal, you could have stopped it, and you did not. And I
like stopped everybody.
Wasting more time with your
and
commentary.
And you're wasting time now. Why? What are you going to say something? Okay, if you say something and it goes after him, then you're both back and forth, at which point we have a big problem. Come on,
that's
the meeting needs to move
it.
Forward. Why don't
do
we just have the meeting
now?
Move forward?
You're wasting time. Do I have the floor now?
No. James Sagerton has the floor right now.
Give her the
floor. I thought
floor.
Ali had the floor before Sagerton. And
no,
I have a point of personal
what
privilege.
I have is Dingman, Roberts, Dingman, Sagerton, Murphy, Matt Mazza, and me. So James Sagerton has the floor right now.
Are you refusing to give me a point of personal privilege?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I am right now.
Okay, thank
you. You want to get back in the stack, you can, but at that point, you know, don't give him a point of personal privilege.
You could have stopped it when it started. You didn't want to do that. You've now wasted 3 minutes telling me how I should handle what you should have handled.
All right. Right now I'm going to say the only person who has the floor is James Sagerton. Please proceed, James Sagerton.
Thank you, Chad. I think, Bertolt, perhaps you can tell me whether you agree or not, but if we did all the work of disambiguating and drilling down into the number of people who donate to all programs, we'd find that 70 or 80% of that was during the time of the programs that are raising the most money now already. I'm just curious if you can confirm that. I don't know exactly how you would do that without a lot of work, but if you could have time on that anyway. So that's one thing. Another thing I wanted to mention was that as far as the overnights go, we had one producer in the network who was able to raise money in the overnights. That was Roy of Hollywood, who has since passed away. But he was raising money in the overnights. He was replaying other programs. He worked in the interstitials as the announcer. And he was the number four, sometimes the number three, number four fundraiser at KPFK. And this was in the wee hours, midnight to 6 a.m. One of the things he did was he replayed Gary Null. And if anyone listens to the radio world in the New York City metropolitan area after midnight, it is chock full of people doing health-type programs. Actually, WBAI health-type programs. And they're making a lot of money on a commercial basis doing that. So I would suggest that that's something you could look at taking some of the programs that are not doing very well revenue-wise and audience-wise and, you know, maybe try to replicate some of that. Put some of the program we already have even. You don't even have to come up with new programming. Just repeat some of the program we already have and play it in the overnight. And then finally, the administrative expense. You know, Bertolt, that there's been some issue at the National Finance Committee about the large administrative expense that we have. And I heard you pull out two things tonight. One was the person who cleans, I think $360 a week, was it? The other was Matt Mazza's bus pad. And since what Matt does, I think, is 90 or 99% connected with fundraising, sending out the premiums and such. It sounds like that should be a fundraising expense. And I don't know about the cleaning, but it's not an administrative expense, I wouldn't think. It's more like a building expense. You know, if you own a building, you paint it once in a while, and that's a building expense. I don't know if we have a line in our budget now, since we haven't had a building for years, if we have a line for building expense, but maybe you could put that there. And maybe if you could break down some of those other items that add up to like $14,000 in our administrative expense, which everybody was like ooing and awing and wowing about because their administrative expenses are so much lower. Again, I know you're not the one who fills out these lines on the consolidated financials from the national office, but if we could make it clear to them that what these expenses are and get them onto other lines, that would explain things better. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, Bertolt is going to answer this, I guess. Go ahead, Bertolt.
Mario,
yeah, quickly. Did. You know, cleaning and stuff like that, these are administrative expenses. These are expenses to administer the place, to administer things, you know. So, you know, people just need to have details and then they can look at the details. I provided details of some questions that they had at the national level of entries that they didn't understand or that were not posted properly whether they were supposed to be posted. But I did provide a lot of answers. Paul, you can maybe provide that to the WBI local finance committee group.
Hi, Mr. Chair. It's Mario.
Oh, Mario's here. I hear you, Mario. Mr. Chair, not Mr. Chair. Bertolt, what do you want me to provide?
there seems to be more questions about some of the questions that was at the national level finance committee meeting about some 13,000 whatever miscellaneous expenses. I gave you a pretty comprehensive list of what I have. I had 8,000, you know, and at the national level they had 13,000. I cannot identify them until I'm being told what they are, so that I can go and look at what they are and tell people what they are. I can only look at what I have in QuickBooks and tell everyone what they are. But if there is anything else that they are requesting at the National Finance Committee meeting, they need to send me those transactions so that I can go and tell and respond.
Well, if they ask me something they want to know, I send it to you. So I already did.
Okay.
That.
All right.
Paul, now it is time. I'm sorry for the past. All right.
Okay.
So we have to...
time calling here. All right. Let's see what we've got here. We have got a stack of 1, 2, 3 people right now.
Mario.
And for all I know, somebody else will jump on.
Carolyn McIntyre. Stack.
You're going to go on stack 2. Let's go up and put you on there, make it even bigger. So, okay.
Mario.
Okay, so.
Mario?
Well, hold on a minute, Mario.
Yeah, this is my third meeting, too. I'm sorry for coming.
Yes,
late.
I know. Hold on a minute. We're doing something. I hear you.
Okay.
All right. Who wants to make a motion to extend for how long? I mean, it sounds like we want to go for at least 15, maybe 20 minutes. What does somebody want to make a motion for?
Okay, this is Ali. 20 minutes because we haven't finished.
20
minutes.
Ah, God. Okay, hold on a second. New keyboard, and it's really hard to adapt to a keyboard that's different from the one you've been using for 30 years. Okay, motion is to extend the time of this item by 20 minutes. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, it's passed. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 20:33. So that means at 20:53, this time is up. Okay, Allie Murphy, you have the floor.
54.
Okay. Yes, I have a few questions here. Gilberto, you were talking about that you had a show where one person gets paid, I think you said about $2,000 for this Leonardo Lopez. And it's considered to be a consultant. Is that how many shows do you have that you're paying somebody to make phone calls and get a guest besides him? He's the only one. Can you negotiate with him about that money that is being spent on that person? I'm not saying to just to take the person away completely, but there's something that it could be done there for that fee. That's what I think, especially it's just one person, one producer.
Not to get into personnel issues, Linda and I, we've been contemplating and figuring out how to deal with that for a while. The whole low pay business. How do retain them, and then what can be done about it? Okay, so that's a very good point.
Okay, the second thing that I have here is you were talking about the morning show, and it seems like is the morning show always the person is being paid for the morning show. I know that you said that the show is very good and all that, but I'm just was wondering, how come a lot of the producers that produce shows, WBAI, they don't get paid, and this time slot has to be paid? I'm wondering if it's somebody, is another way that you could negotiate with the person or maybe work something out, because a lot of the producers, they don't get paid at WBAI. That's another question. And I just was listening to the person who spoke about the overnight slot. Have you ever thought about it? I know that a lot of time it's difficult to have people overnight, but I'm pretty sure that you will be able to find somebody. I like sport, so even there is a lot of men listening at night. That's one slot that the men that listen. It's a lot of people working at night, and I think one thing that it could be done besides what that person proposed about Gary Noll, I'm talking about health. I thought about one thing that it could be done is maybe have maybe one or two people overnight talking about and actually even taking phone calls. And I think you will beat an audience at night. I'm talking about overnight. I'm talking about maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, because I don't think most people that listen to WBI would be listening at that time. And maybe have some sport people talking about maybe for 2 or 3 hours. Overnight, and maybe you could build something like that, and you might not even have to pay somebody, and so some people would be willing to do it. That is just an idea. It could be in any other subject, but sport is something that is related to social issues too, where people they talk about social issues when it's related to sport. So that is an idea besides what the other person was talking about at overnight. Repeating some shows and things like that. So and my last thing is that about this finance and the people they do the pitching. If you're talking about negotiating and the consultants, maybe that is another point that you could look into and maybe negotiate with these people because of this financial situation that the whole foundation is in right now. Thank you. I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Let me go quickly. Lopez, I already addressed it. We can go into more detail. 7 a.m. I must tell you, at 7 a.m., somebody has to be up at 5:30, get ready. They usually need somebody to help them produce. You know, Linda spends a lot of time editing and helping them produce their show. We, you know, I hate to put it that way. You know, we're desperate, begging people to want to be associated with WBI and produce a morning show. We could not pay one person because that would be at least a $65,000 slot from Monday to Friday. So the best way to do it and to cut costs was to get one person every morning, but come with a common theme and have it flow over from Monday to Friday, kind of. And we have created that. Reducing the cost or not paying those people, you know, we'll see what we can do. But to build that slot, that's what we had to do. Overnight slot, I agree with you. We even considered sometimes we were approached by some religious organization who wanted to rent the air from, I don't know, like midnight or 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., and we were willing to do it. There was a lot of resistance. You know, I mean, obviously, these are people we don't agree with. You know, they just rent the air to do their thing for 3-4 hours in the middle of the night. I'm open to all of that, to tell you the truth. And I'm definitely open to what you are doing because I do listen to our shows. We do have a few live shows. We have some reggae people Thursdays and Friday nights. We have Tuesday. Max Schmidt goes on till like 3 in the morning. You know, we're trying to figure it out. You know, it's definitely not working. We probably need, you know, a brainstorm and figuring out how to really use that the night slot to make money. As far as pitching, I can tell you right now, forget it. I've negotiated those prices for over a couple of years now. And I don't think anybody can negotiate any better price. So thank you very much for that one, but I'm pretty sure that is a no-no. Like, I'm always pushing and negotiating those prices, by the way. And since we need those people, you know, at one point, I have to give in.
Okay. The next person is Matt Mazza.
Hello? Are you hearing me okay now?
I hear you now.
Okay, very good. Just a comment. Oh, by the way, in the 360 a month, by the way, not a week. And also on the credit card issue, you know, we were doing for years on Wall Street. We had that big room with the phone banks. So I'm just wondering if anything changed since then. And, yeah, I do it with David Rothenberg. By the way, he does between $5,000 and $10,000 a month, these pledges with the credit cards. And I have a special page on one of the computers. I just enter the cards, and then we keep the slips for a short period of time in case a listener calls in and he has a question or he wants to change something. I have the information. But other than that, we spread them. So as far as I know, I don't know what would have changed from what we did on Wall Street, entering these pledges. We had one girl who is an ancestor now, Therese. She used to enter all the pledges. You know, there were a lot of them, you know. So that was my comment. Thank you.
Whoops, am I still on here?
Yes, you are, Apple.
Okay. Yeah, I pushed a button. I grabbed a phone and it went beep and I don't know what happened. Okay, scrolling up. The next person is me. Okay. The deal is the overnights can do stuff, but you're talking about like Roy of Hollywood and you know, you're kind of ignoring things like, gee, there used to be somebody who had been on BAI's air who would raise at least $1,000 per pitching shift. We didn't do them every night in those days. Every pitching shift, and you had an incompetent person move a whole bunch of the overnights to strange time slots, Berthold. And, yeah, that kind of money never came in again, and it never showed up in those time slots that were magically filled by other people who, you know, you put in there. So, yeah, you need to look beyond the producers for some problems that we're having. Another thing up here. Okay, so you were saying you were negotiating with AFTRA about the contract and that stuff and about the consultants, and you mentioned like, you know, Wall Street years ago. You can't compare that too much. You can't compare the stuff from, what was it? We left there in 2012. You can't compare stuff from 11 years ago to today. Too much has changed. And I understand you have to negotiate with the union, but people are doing things differently now. You also have to contend with the following, which I don't know if you've ever considered it. If you get somebody in any time slot who really does well, told, they're going to get a phone call. And the phone call is going to say, hey, I heard you on BAI doing well. How would you like to make $75,000 a year doing the crap you do on BAI for, you know, chicken feed? At which point, my experience is that people go for the money and we lose them. So that's something everybody needs to consider. If an unpaid or low paid, everybody at BAI is unpaid, person, you know, does well in that time slot, they're going to get that phone call. Because it's always happened, and it's logical that it would happen, because there are program directors at other radio stations that make huge amounts of money, and they have to compete with each other and get the advertising in, and they have to get people on the air who draw that advertising. They don't really care what they say. They just want to draw the advertising. And they are heavily motivated to search, even through BAI, at all times of day, to see if anybody's doing well. And once somebody does well, and they have the Nielsen ratings, they know what we get. If they see a spike somewhere, they ask that person, hey, how'd you like to try us out for a while for real money? So keep that in mind, Bertold. It's always a problem with, you know, especially unpaid staff, and it's something you need to remember that you can't say, well, we got this person who's doing great, and then just stop it there. You got to look for who else you can get who's going to do great, because that person who's doing really great is going to be gone soon. Probably. Not everybody, but probably. All right, next we have... Who's after me? It's Carolyn. Carolyn McIntyre. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Arpal. And so here we are pressuring Bertold to raise more money, and then at the same time badgering him for encouraging producers to bring in more buddies to help raise money. So how can we be a team if some people are pushing for the opposite of what other people are pushing for? What would it be like if you were in that position? In terms of these meetings, I mean, Arpal, I would encourage you to not let yourself get provoked. And also, if you migrated to Zoom or something like that, where you can mute people, then you can mute people who are interrupting. And the meeting would go a lot more smoothly if you did that. And you could also mute background noise, because there's a lot of that. There's some of it going on as I'm speaking. Maybe somebody doesn't want to hear what I'm saying. So I really appreciate, Bertold, the grace that you show when you're needled, badgered, criticized, demeaned, whatever you call it. There's a lot of demeaning behavior. And I, you know, you really bring in some light when you handle that with the grace that you do. And I just hope it doesn't eat away at your confidence, because I don't know how anybody could be in that position and go to all these meetings where you're constantly being demeaned and badgered. But I want you to know that, you know, I can see how you handle difficult things and difficult people, and it takes a lot of patience and a lot of grace, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the work that the staff and all the producers are doing, and thank you, Matt Mazza, for all the work you do on the premiums. Yeah, and I would just appreciate the light and care that you bring to this work. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to interject here for a second and say, yes, in fact, there's been some muting going on here. I know I haven't advertised it, but there were people who were clanking plates, and there was a lot of noise before, and I muted it. And while you were talking, there was some noise, and I muted that too. So I'm actively on this stuff, and I will point out that on Zoom, besides the fact that Zoom compromises privacy and security, there's also the fact that one time at the LSB meetings, a bunch of jerks broke into the meeting and started, you know, being jerks, going, oh, 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 you know, the stuff that kind of person will do. And so you've got to be able to try and deal with that, and that can be very difficult. So right now, I think probably Maestro Conference is what we're going to do. And but we'll see what happens. Hey, you know, maybe next year somebody else will be doing this, and they'll want to go to Zoom, and the LSB will say fine, and it will get funded, and that will happen. Who knows? All right, Mr. Timekeeper, what is our time like for
Mario is next.
Could I reply, please?
Who's this?
Mario's name.
This is Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman.
Reply to what? Okay, you're not the timekeeper. I am asking the timekeeper, how are we on time?
2 minutes.
You have two or three minutes, something like that.
No, 2 minutes.
Now it's okay. Yes, I said 2 minutes. Okay, so and
yeah, speak,
who
please.
Was? Okay, go ahead.
Next.
Go ahead, Mario.
Mario, did you say you said you were here before? I didn't hear you say you wanted to speak.
No, I said I wanted to be on the stack after McIntyre.
Okay, Mario goes on now, and then it will be Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman. We'll probably have to increase the time a little bit for that. Go ahead, Mario. And yes,
okay,
welcome. Now you're a member again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate you being able to mute people. I wish that these meetings were in person, or at least one every quarter. That would be nice. I think they might be required to be in person. I don't know. It depends. If it's too unruly, they certainly could go back to being in person. Okay. Anyway, three quick questions for Berthold. The matching funds that seems to be coming popular right now, is it on the finance report? Yes or no?
Not yet. We have to.
Okay.
We have to.
What was the total amount paid out to the consultants in August? Because I don't have this thing in my email. I never get it.
So,
is it around 30,000?
No, it's like 14,000.
14,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Now a comment, just a quick comment. I've been lobbying lately to increase the producers, 100 new producers of various ages, backgrounds, and kinds. Now, how you do that is you take 100 producers and you turn them into 30-minute shows. And what this would do is you don't take anybody off the air. They could even keep their own time slot. And you just cut their show to 30 minutes. They want to take calls. They could take calls in the last 10 minutes. I was listening to a show the other day, the Gray Zone or something, or is another show after that, or the next day after that. They were talking. All right, we got to extend. Maybe.
Who wants
minutes.
To make a motion to extend the time for this item, if anybody? Did you make a motion, Mario?
Yes, I did, to extend 5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay.
Second. Probably do it in two.
All right, so you've made the committee doesn't need a second. Motion is to extend the time for this item by 5 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 20:55. Continue, Mario.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. 30-minute shows, 100 producers, that would increase more. Like, I was listening to the show, and they were just going on and on with no real guest, weren't taking any phone calls, just trying to make it to the 55 minutes. So there's a lot of shows it's just bantering on. They could be much more effective. They do a topic. 100 shows. So that means you about 130 shows you're not touching at all. So you just take 100 shows, whether it's in the overnight, whether it's in the whatever. And that'll increase participation, increase the likelihood of bringing more listeners in because these people will have friends and family and so on. So really take a good look at that. You don't take anybody off the air. It's a win-win. You add more people, maybe some young people from college who have ideas for shows, topics. I would go to the colleges and ask if you wanted a radio show and you get somebody who's graduating. They send you essays or whatever they want or whatever, you know, a pitch, and then you see who you would want to pick. The cleaning and mopping, the person who's doing the cleaning, they only clean the inside of BAI. So that's like mopping, dusting, and bathroom. Maybe you could figure out a way to get volunteers to do that. Or you guys could all do it yourselves, pitch in, because it's not a big task. It's just that space. You don't have to clean the hallways and the rest of the building. That's Melissa's job. Okay. Now, the morning show, I would cut them all together. I would cut the pay all together, completely, at this point, only because of what's going on, not because just to do it, because they're not holding their own anyway. You would have to prove to me that if you fired them and got somebody else to take over for free, that the station would lose money. Well, they're not making any money. So, you know, that's another win-win. You don't lose because they're not making any money. Right? People like it, but they're not making any money. Okay, that's it for now for me. Thank you.
Okay. Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman, you wanted to be on. You have the floor.
Yes. Maestro conferences can be done so that people can join by computer. That's what I'm doing right now. And if they wish, use their camera or not use their camera. But it can be done so that one can look at one's computer screen and see which person is speaking, whether they're using a camera or not using a camera or their own phone. You see which square is lit up with a name or some sort of identification. And I would like to request that we do that, because on Zoom, when you look at it, you see who's speaking. And it's perfectly possible to do that with Maestro as well. So I'd like you to do that. It doesn't require a person to do that. Would you please do that?
Not me.
Why not?
This has been working, and as far as I know, I don't know, nobody's ever told me that you could do video on Maestro conference. So
you
I don't know about that. Well, you say
would,
so.
Would you
speak to Otis? Speak to Otis about it. Let him talk to us about it, and we'll see where it could possibly go from there. Okay? Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay, is there anybody else who wants to do anything else on the topic?
Yeah, Nancy wants to say something.
Who?
Nancy.
Nancy. Okay, Nancy. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah. Otis said we cannot do video on Maestro. And about muting, please look at the bylaws. The directors are not permitted to mute because everybody has to be, all members have to be able to hear each other and concurrently talk with each other. So if you think that the LSB committee meetings are able to mute, but the directors are not, you're violating bylaw, in my opinion. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And you, okay. And to cut your own, to eliminate your own salary, the GM and the PD, to eliminate her own salary. You don't have to talk to SAG-AF. You don't have to talk to any union. You can just do it. And all these things, the GM, the PD, the pitchers, the board operators, and the cleaning and the webmasters at KPF, it's all volunteers unless our GM has done something he hasn't reported to us. And we've been doing this for a long time. And board ops were never paid at KPFT. We didn't have money to do that.
Okay.
That's all. Thank you.
Okay.
If we can do it, y'all can do it.
Before we go to the next thing, let me say that we're not muting members. We're muting excessive amounts of stuff like clanking dishes and somebody having a radio or TV on and it's going and we can't hear each other. I think it's perfectly valid after asking people to mute themselves if they don't, and if they keep on clanking or having the radio or TV on, I think it's perfectly valid to just mute them for a little bit and see if that helps. And it has.
I agree.
Nobody's muted
I agree,
right
but
now.
But Member McIntyre said to mute people that are rude. I don't think you should do that.
Fine.
Time has been called. Is there anybody who wants to increase the time for this item? If not, we will go on to the next item, and I don't hear anybody who wants to increase the time here. So we will go on to the next item now, and the next item is the general manager presents a draft FY24 budget proposal. Bertold, you have the floor.
Hold on. Ethel, you know, we're going to have to stop at 9:30 and then continue, okay?
Stop at 9:30 and continue?
Yeah, because the meeting is supposed to end. You remember the meeting?
Yes, it's,
okay,
60, it's a 60-minute item, but we stop at 9:30. We're
I just
want to
make that
aware.
Decide,
at 9:30,
I just
want to
make
it aware. Okay?
Okay. Fine.
All right.
Just wanted to bring it together.
Hello?
Bertold?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. The highlight of the budget.
Bertold, would you please tell everybody the name of the file that you're going to be talking about before we start so people can bring it up? You sent it earlier today to the mailing list, so tell them what the file name is so they can bring it up and look at it while you're talking about it, okay?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It might be 2024 WBI budget for WBI NSB finance.
Yes, that is the file name, so people can get it there. If you don't see it, it should be in your email inbox for this committee.
Okay. So the highlights of this budget are we're projecting to raise $2,500 a day, as opposed to $3,250 last year. We are proposing to triple the money that we made in PSAs, which was nothing last year, the year before. Well, we are proposing to raise $180,000 in PSAs. These are the major things. You know, and so this is the revenue with that $180,000 PSA. would be $1.4 million, and our deficit would be $141,000. $141,023. So this is the budget. You know, removing some consultants.
I'm sorry, somebody has to mute themselves. It's so annoying. And they know that they are not muted. They know, because all of us are here, and we could hear it.
Well, okay. With whoever is making a little bit of noise there, please stop it or mute yourself. Or I'll have to violate the bylaws and mute you myself. Go ahead, Bertold.
Yes. So, So the consultants' numbers would be reduced by a good, like, $35,000. And so these are the major assumptions. Everything else is usually the same. You know, we have the same expenses, more or less. Four times square goes up by a few percentage per year. If we can reduce the call center on this budget, we will have we'll have a pretty decent budget. I did not put that in there because, obviously, You know, we haven't done that yet, but, you know, so this is one of the things that I wanted you guys to talk about, and nobody mentioned it. The fund drive expenses is $6,000 a month, so that's $72,000 a year. The call center, we can probably reduce that by 90%. But that is not in the budget. In the budget, I included the call center. I'm ready for for questions. I know Arpal has a few questions about my woozy pictures of the PSAs. And of the bequest. But know already that we have a bequest that we're working on, which is 20% of a house. No idea when that money is going to come in, but the paperwork is starting right now, so we might get some of that money next year. So for bequest and grants altogether, I put $115,000. It's not so awful. It's not just grants; it's bequest and grants. You know, so if you want to reduce that, that would be an issue. So I highlighted all those items that people have issues with, so that way we can talk about it.
Okay.
You want
well,
it to be more elaborate, or I mean, basically, you know, expenses have not gone up or down, you know, forever. They're the same, you know, except for consultant might go up or down depending on how much we are using the fund drive feature. Doesn't really go up or down. All of our expenses are the same, you know, Verizon, Time Warner Cable. You know, premiums, expenses, constant contact, Intuit, or for the QuickBook, $214 a month, constant contact, for mail distribution, $300 a month. There's not much change. Salary and expenses stay the same. I think a health benefit goes up a little bit, but everything else is the same.
Okay. Bertold, so getting back into it. So you have on line 38 the income loss expense before capital expenditures as 137. And then you have the central services and that it says net income loss 116. Now, central services, you have to the national office 16,890 a month.
Yeah,
that's not the amount we're going to be paying because you know there's a new formula, right?
I've heard about that, but I haven't gotten an official calculation. You know, I think that's supposed to be coming from the national office. Because I don't want to come up with a number and to be told that I'm cheating or I'm doing something, whatever. And I didn't know when that officially started. As a matter of fact, I thought it was supposed to be officially for this past fiscal year, which actually would help us. That would also reduce our deficit. But I am not, until I get instructions, official instructions from that. ED and from the PNB or from whoever is in authority, I'm not touched. I'm assuming the same thing.
Okay. Well, I'm not official, but I did put the motion in a treasurer's report sometime in the past couple of months, so you can find out what it is in there. But the thing is, what you might think of doing is, you know, doing an alternate spreadsheet and putting in that calculation in for central services to the national office. See if that helps things a bit. Okay?
Okay.
And, you know, we have all the other expenses here, and, you know, I don't know. You're saying it's going to be pretty close to... Oh, somebody else is talking. You're saying it's going to be pretty close...
Hello, Chair.
Yes?
Chair, may I offer some information on that point?
Okay, it's James Sagerton. For a second, yes. James, could I finish my statement, then you'll be next, okay?
Of course. I just wanted to chime in on that particular thing while it was fresh.
Yes, I'm going to be done in a second or two. Okay, so I'll just say this. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's exactly the same, but I don't know that it's going to work out that way. And one of the things I want to say is that, you know, people keep talking about raising money and change the programming and raise money that way. The general wisdom is it takes about 2 years. If you change your programming, it takes about 2 years for it to really pay off. I don't know that we have 2 years. And it would also be a thing of, gee, you know, people threw some stuff at the wall. Did it stick? How much did it stick? Did we really raise much more than we did before? I don't think we have the time for that. At this point, we need to start thinking of ways to raise rather serious money. And I don't see how we're doing it on the air, given our track record. So I just wanted to put that in. And, okay, James, you go ahead now. Go ahead.
Yeah, and apologies for interrupting our call. I wanted to jump on it while you were on it before we moved on. So just quickly, I specifically asked the executive director that question because, as you know, the PNB makes policy, but the executive director is supposed to implement it. The PNB or the NFC don't tell the general managers what to do. The executive director, their supervisor, tells them what to do. So Bertol is right in that he's waiting for this to come down from the national office. But when I asked her about this, she said she was planning on implementing that beginning at the new fiscal year. So on October 1st. So I said, well, gee, that we were kind of expecting that to be done immediately, especially in light of the fact that we had previously refigured the essential services formula a couple of years ago under a previous executive director who never implemented it. So there's a whole question of what are we going to do about reconfiguring what certain stations are said to be to owe and what all stations actually are said to owe, because we've been using an old central service formula that's really no longer reflective of the revenue that stations have. So on that subject, the executive director has said publicly that she thinks the only solution to all of that is to wipe the slate clean and start fresh with a new everybody at zero for central services due and owing. I agree with her on that. The question is, when are we going to get around to it? And, you know, she hasn't moved on that yet. So I'm hoping she has in mind also to do that perhaps at, you know, for the beginning of the next fiscal year, which means needs to be done pretty quick.
James?
Yes.
You understand that there will be gigantic opposition to wiping the slate clean on central services. I mean, there are people, there's at least one person from KPFA who is running in this election on bashing WBAI, and if all of a sudden they have this utter nonsense of BAI owes Pacifica $8 million, which is like, oh, I won't go into how complicatedly wrong that is, but, you know, there's one person at KPFA who's running on bashing BAI, and people are not necessarily going to vote for it. So I agree that that would be a good thing to do, and it would be helpful, because if they expect us to somehow dig money out of the past, I don't see how you do that. And the thing is, I think it would face an uphill battle, especially if we get like some, I will not mention that slate from some other coast, if certain people get more power on the PNB. You're just going to have a really hard time to do that, and I wouldn't count on it, is what I have to say. All right. Okay.
Okay.
So, okay. James, do you have something to rebut on that?
Respond? I don't want to rebut.
Yeah, James, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I just want to say that I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you that there will be pushback on that. But I think we will have the votes, especially because the executive director is making the argument that I think is probably correct, that it's going to be impossible to do anything else. I mean, how do we go back and recalculate what a station that may be paying too much should be refunded, or how much a station who has been paying too little should owe? It just seems unworkable and impossible. So this executive director is saying it's impossible for her to figure that out. And under those conditions, I think that a reasonable majority will prevail on the PNB and will authorize that. But, you know, we'll see.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll say I agree, and I hope it works out that way. Okay. Berthold, were you done?
Let me recenter us on this budget. So the health benefits are going to be increased by 2% as of March 2024. That's the formula we had. That's when they increased the benefits. And then the salary usually increases by 0.5%. That's probably some of the contract we have with the union. So the salary is 0.5% and the health benefits by 2%. Now, things to write down and to keep in mind, $122,000 of consultant expenses in that fiscal year. Oops, I just realized that I didn't change the top 2024. Okay, so $122,165. We already have one consultant that quit. That's the morning show host. We have a reduction of almost half of one. So, and another consultant has already raised the expenses for the first 6 months. So if we assume that, we cannot assume that in the budget, but keep in mind there's a possibility that the $122,165 of consultant expenses might be reduced to like $10,000, because like $110,000 of it might be extra revenue generated by those consultants for their flats. Okay, so PSAs, underwriting, all lapse donors are the three major items of all I think can have a significant impact on our revenue. The PSAs can definitely. We didn't even go after anybody but two people, and then we got almost 80,000. We're going to go after all of them, but we need help from the board and from everybody else. Anybody else who's more professional than us and know how to talk to those people, reach out to them, have their contact. PSAs, I am certain, can be tripled if we go after 10 companies as opposed to two. And we need to do that right now. We're actually doing that right now. So these are the important numbers for this budget.
Let's allow Berthold to finish, and then we can do a stack when he's done.
Okay.
Go ahead, Berthold.
And do not forget the call center of $6,000 a month. So these are the items to be targeted. They're not necessarily possible or doable, but these are the things we should try to do. We should focus on. And any two or three of them we get out of four would make a substantial difference.
Are you done, Berthold?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay. All right. Let me say a lot of this budget looks what I refer to as rosy. It's very hopeful, and, you know, I've seen these before, and they don't always work out. Let's hope it works out this time. Anyway, let's take a stack. I hear Mario. Who else wants to?
I want to be on the stack.
Jim Dingman. I hear Jim Dingman. Anybody else want to be on the stack?
Yes, Dee Halleck.
Dee Halleck. Okay. Anybody else want to be on the stack? Okay, we'll go from that. Mario, you have the floor.
Quick question about the taking the phone calls. What happened to switching to volunteers or workers or volunteers at the station to take the pledges?
That's what we're talking about.
Okay. What was I going to say? Central Services. This might be a question to the treasurer. Central Services. How is it? Is it a set fee right now, or it's a set fee per station?
It's $16,894 for Central Service, and it's $4,222 for Pacific Radio Archives.
Okay.
There's a formula. There's a formula for it. Each station is a bit different depending on their revenue.
Exactly. So it's a percentage of their revenue?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a fair way to do it. Now,
I got in here.
Yeah. So it's a fair way to do it. Geez, I lost my train of thought because you guys, I didn't put the notes down. You guys were talking, and that was one of them. Increasing revenue right away. An appeal could be made to maybe nonprofits to give a donation to the station. They have discretionary funds. You could also contact all kinds of nonprofits, being that we're a nonprofit. Pacific is a nonprofit. So that would take somebody to contact them and ask them if they would be interested in helping a station in financial trouble, a nonprofit in financial trouble. But then, Mr. Chair, you've mentioned a lot of times that you start getting into things where the finances are not straight enough for people to donate as far as grants. But if they do a donation, is that different?
I don't understand your question.
I'll answer that.
Grants and donations,
let
are they the same or different?
They are different. We have a major donor who is giving us 4 months of rent at 388 Atlantic Avenue. So it's 5,300 times four. Okay? The condition was that we pay 4 months of rent and he pays 4 months of rent. We have various donations. People send $1,000, $5,000. However, we also have... We just received a grant today that this is money that I'm going to deposit it yet into the bank. It's from the Tides Foundation. T-I-D-E-S. You know, I think that might be one of the corporations that supported us because of Beyond the Pale, Beyond the Pale show. So we have grant underwriting. We have quite a bunch of them actually at WBAI. You know,
Mr. Chair, I just remembered something. May I speak for 30 seconds, 15 seconds?
Oh, go ahead.
All right, thank you. What I wanted to say. Because the chair said, well, at this point, we're changing programming. How's that going to help? Well, you still have to run the store. I mean, if we were a pizza store, a pizza shop, and we're in financial trouble, you still got to come tomorrow and get the ingredients and do everything else and make pizza. So you got to keep doing your programming. And I really think you should look at decreasing 100 producers to 30-minute shows and getting... having a major campaign, because that would bring awareness to the station. WBI is looking for producers. going
Mario,
to
Mario, you've
colleges.
Said this before, and there are people on the stack. Can we go to the
All
next
right,
person
thank you
in the
much.
Stack, Mario?
Thank you very
All
much.
All right, Jim Dingman is next.
All right, first of all, when was this information sent out, Bertolt, so I could look at my email? Because I was looking for it. I did not see it, and I wanted to know what time all this stuff was sent out.
I sent it early, I think yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Was it yesterday?
I think you sent it out to say, well, let me go look. Let me go look, and let me consult my email to see exactly when you sent this budget stuff out.
All right, while you're
you
doing
sent
that,
it out today at about 2:34 p.m.
2:34, okay, thank you. I'll look for that. Now, Bertolt, you're making an assumption that we're going to make, I was doing the mathematics, we're going to make $2,500 a day in listener member donations, and I calculate that comes out to $900,000 a year. Is that roughly what you're aiming for? I'm multiplying 30 times 2,500, then multiplying that by 12. Is that the calculation of listener member dollars you're anticipating you're going to get $900,000 a year?
Yeah, $807,000 plus, okay. Yeah. Yeah,
all right. And then the other thing is you're calculating that you're going to be able to raise the amount of money in terms of the PSAs up to ideally three times, up to $270,000 or $300,000. Is that correct?
Only $180,000 for now. $300,000 is the goal, but $180,000, so double. The biggest number after the 800 or 900,000 listeners supported is BI Buddy, $20,000 a month. So that's 246,
150. All right. I'm going to say straight up that we have to aim higher than this because we cannot have a deficit budget and expect that we're going to get goodwill from some of the people that are even on the margins in the rest of the network. There's too much pressure, particularly from Los Angeles, but we're sort of not far behind. We have to aim to get the amount of revenue that we're bringing in beyond this deficit. And so I don't agree at all, as people know, with the idea that this programming can stay the same because it simply isn't paying for itself. And some of the comments here about Roy of Hollywood was a totally different animal. It was a strip show in the evening that had been on air sort of like fast for like 15, 20, 30 years, however long it had been on. And what he did was essentially curate programming that was on in a predictable way every night, 4 or 5 hours of the shot. So it's not, and that can't be duplicated very easily except if you replace everybody with one curated operation. So I think we have to really aim higher in terms of the gross revenues we're going to have to aim for, or else we're going to be in trouble with the rest of the network because it can indeed shift the balance in stations. They are fed up with us being in this position. I'm personally fed up with us being in this position. And I think we have to aim even higher than what you're talking about and figure out ways to get the revenue up even more. And that's my comment on it because I can see us getting into all sorts of conflict. Our Paul was referring to some people freaking out in the past couple of meetings, which is just going to continue. And I want to just eliminate that. And the best way to do that is money talks and bullshit walks. And that's the only way. That's the only thing these people in most of the country understand who want to sell or swap us. So my comment.
Our Paul, time at 9:30.
We have to raise the revenue. We have to raise the revenue even higher, and we have to sit there and think about the programming, too. We cannot have a stasis attitude about the programming because our cum is about 40,000 to 50,000 a week. And I base that on all the analysis I've done for the past several decades. And so that has to go up, and there's a lot of things we have to do that, frankly, are positive. That's what's good about it. They have to be positive and aim to changing the place for the positive. But we're not going to cut it if we just think we're going to get away with deficit budget. Thank you.
Okay. Time has been called. D.D. Halleck is on the stack. Let me ask first. Bertolt, my impression is you're not bringing this to us to, like, try to vote to send it to the LSB or anything at this time, right? Because you have to wait for the executive director to give you a final version or something?
I did send an email to all the LSB members to ask them to be on this call so that they can be very familiar with the budget, because in the past we had this thing linger on this committee. We reviewed it. We knew it well, and then the LSD didn't have much time, or they were discussing whatever they did. They didn't get to it. So I felt that if most LSD members were on this meeting, they would have a pretty good idea of what's going on in the next finance committee meeting. So when they get to the next LSD meeting, you know, if we ever want to bring it to them, they would be already familiar with it and be ready to take action. And have a discussion with me and you and the executive director or whomever wants to discuss it.
All right. First, dream on, Berthold. Second, so then the answer is yes. The intention at this point in time is not to have the committee pass this, because it's not in a position to be passed. Not in a condition to be passed. And we're not going to be trying to present this at the LSB, right?
Right.
Right, okay. So, could I suggest that we extend this for... Okay, we have a few things on the agenda. The next thing is set next meeting date, which we need to do. That's a five-minute item. And we also have one person who's on the stack. Okay, I'm going to make a motion. I move that we extend the time... for the item by 5 minutes, and for the meeting by 10 minutes. Okay? So the motion is to extend the time for this item by 5 minutes. That'll allow the person in the stack to say something, and then extend the time for the meeting by 10 minutes, which means that 5 minutes will be inside the 10 minutes. So 5 minutes for this item, the budget item, and then we'll have 5 minutes left after that to discuss next meeting date. Okay, so that's the motion. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 21:34. D.D. Halleck, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind people, when you think of these PSAs as a source of programming, the problem is that the person who makes the PSAs is the program director, and in the time that she takes to do the PSAs and to promote them and to talk to the city officials and all of that, she is not being a program director. And it just seems to me that it's sort of naive to think that these PSAs are coming, that it's this wonderful thing that we've gotten into. But basically what it means is that someone that we have hired as a to direct the whole sense of what the programming is for the station is now become a commercial advertiser, basically. And it has to do the recording and the editing and the whole... It's not usually a one-person job. Now, I don't know what to do with that information, except that perhaps there would be a way to actually have a position, if this is something that the station wants to make officially part of what we're doing. We're kind of doing this without really deciding to do it. And I think we have to, when I heard we were going to do PSAs, I assumed it was to give airtime to pre-made PSAs, because there are places that make PSAs and that they look for spaces to do them. They don't expect the radio station
program director to spend her very precious overextended time to editing and doing all the research and the actually procurement of these spots. So I think I think what we need to do is really clarify what that is, and perhaps that is something that there could be funding for that would actually pay somebody to actually do that work. So it is a skilled work, none of that was actually part of the job that the program director has.
Well, Didi, thank you for your concern. There's a lot of things that's none of our job description. It's not just the program director, it's the program director and I. We have to keep a log. We have to make sure that the log is accurate. We have to make sure that the board apps play those things on time and then initial that they actually played those things on time. Remind them sometimes, they have been doing a pretty good job, a great job at playing those PSAs, documenting them, putting them on a spreadsheet that makes sense, that's accurate, and attaching them to the bill and sending them to the people for the billing and making sure it's accurate to their request. That's why I was asking for a PSA, a committee for PSAs. I want 3 board members to be on that, to not only look for PSAs, but to help us also run this thing, spreadsheet and stuff like that. We split the job between Linda and I, but it's gotten confusing. So basically, Linda's job now is to do the PSA and then to work with the to the board app to make sure they play them. My job is to go retrieve that information and put them in a log and then do the billing and make sure it's accurate, because we had made a few mistakes before. Yeah, but
say the time amount of percentage of your time that goes for that?
Let's say 2 to 4 in the morning when I'm texting Linda back and forth.
Yeah,
we are doing more work than we should be doing. Thank you for pointing that out, but we have a lot of producers who are producing a whole hour show. I'm sure it takes them 4 hours to produce. They don't get paid. We have the board apps. Reggie Johnson comes to mind. Reggie Johnson does like 2 times the job he's supposed to be doing, running back and forth, editing. He's supposed to be on the board. He's not supposed to do all these other things, editing and stuff like that. We have a whole lot of people stressed out.
Bertolt, time has been called. And we really need to move on at this point. I would hope nobody would try to extend this. All right. I think you've made your point. I will say this: if you think you could put a 1 hour program together in 4 hours, wow, that's amazing. But if nobody has a big objection, I'm going to say it is now time for us to go to the next item, which is set next meeting date. Is there any giant objection to doing that? Hearing none. Thank you all, and we're going to go to set next meeting date at this moment. And Mr. Timekeeper, I have it as 21:40 right now. Okay, so next meeting date, how about we make it October 18th? I will move. I will move that we meet next on Wednesday, October 18th at 7 p.m. Here as usual. Okay, so that motion is on the floor. Any debate on that motion?
May I have a point of information? What is your email again?
rpm@glib.com.
RPM, it's not RPOL. RPM.
Yeah, that's
glib.
It. Right, is there any debate on this motion?
I have a point of information.
Okay, Roberts, go ahead.
what is the timeline that the NFC approved for passage of the budget? I think I asked about that at a previous meeting, two meetings
ago. It's supposed to be for actually passing it. Well, it was very rosy, and as I recall, we were going to pass it before October 1st. That is obviously not happening.
Since you're secretary of that committee, is it possible you could post to the Finance Committee listserv what timeline was approved? That is my question, rosy. What?
I posted that. Actually, it was even part of a treasurer's report, I think.
Can you post it to the Finance Committee, listserv?
You would like it again. Okay, let me make a note. Post FY24 timeline. Okay, I've made a note. So the motion on the floor is to meet next on October 18th. Is there any debate on the motion? Hearing none, is there any objection to meeting next on October 18th at 7 p.m. here as usual? Hearing none, it's passed. All right, what do we got, Mr.
Paul,
Timekeeper?
I have an announcement about Atlantic Annick, October 1st.
Well, let me see, 10 minutes, 34. Fine, make an announcement about Atlantic Annick, but you got like less than a minute. Go ahead, Mario.
Yeah. The cab is going to, Neil, the chair, is going to be handing out flyers. I mean, if weather permitting, if it's really nice, it's a street fair. It takes place right in front of the station. We should have a table at least against the building. Good place to walk around and solicit people to donate. It's a nice day. It could be people from BAI should all meet there if they can. Producers, everybody else. October 1st, I guess it's 10 a.m. to 5 or 6 p.m.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
And that's pretty much it. Let me ask here, is
Mr.
there
Chair?
Anybody?
Yes.
Well, hold on. I have something official to do here. Is there anybody here? This is a shorter announcement than usual. Is there anybody here who's not a member, who wanted to become a member, who's here and has been here? Okay, hearing none. I think our time is up.
I'd like to offer a correction to what was said before.
A correction to what?
To the announcement.
About Atlantic Antic.
About the Atlantic Antic. You can't
go ahead. Go ahead. Please make it fast.
You can't just go around soliciting money. In New York City, it requires a permit, and we will not have one. The Outreach and Fundraising Committee will have a table. We already have a space reserved. We'll see you there.
Okay.
I didn't say go ask people for money.
All right, Mario, we're done.
Okay.
If there's no...
Right.
Okay, it's past time. Unless somebody wants to make a move to extend the entire meeting, we're going to be ending. Is there any motion to extend the entire meeting? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all. See you next month.